They're known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, images that spring from Revelation chapter 6, bringing death and destruction with them on all humanity. Are these simply cryptic messages for early Christians, allegories of God's judgment, or prophecies of events yet to come? Join us today on Good News Radio as we explore how the message of these ancient horsemen is important to you today in part two of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
In the mid-1980s, President Ronald Reagan once openly mused about the potential for the age-ending world war. He wrote, "You know, I turn back to your ancient prophets in the Old Testament and the signs foretelling Armageddon, and I find myself wondering if we're the generation that's going to see that come about. There have been times in the past when we thought the world was coming to an end, but never anything like this." You know, the world has changed dramatically since the presidency of Ronald Reagan. The Cold War is over, only to be replaced by dozens of small but deadly hot wars around the globe. Worried eyes are fixed on the Middle East, where perpetual war between Arab countries and Israel and between Arab and Arab threatens to pull the U.S. into a never-ending conflict. Well, today we're going to discuss war and other bad news, but we will show you how the bad news is going to lead to some really good news. Darris McNeely, Managing Editor of World News and Prophecy, joins us again as we talk about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Darris, thanks for coming back.
Glad to be back with you.
Okay, well, last week we talked about the white horse, or the first horse of these four horsemen. Maybe you can sort of summarize what we talked about last week.
Well, the first horseman of the four horsemen of the apocalypse is the first of the seven seals, first set of seven seals, that begins to be opened in Revelation chapter 6, opened by the Lamb, who is the only one worthy to open those seals, Jesus Christ himself. And that first horse, a white horse, and the rider with its bow, symbolizes false religion and a deception that has been over the world since the early days of the church and actually the first century.
So before Christ's return, a great false religion is going to come upon the scene and unite people. Okay, so let's go to Revelation 6, and let's look at the second horse. Let's get right into the meat of the subject here. Here's what John wrote. He says, "Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." Now, what does this writer represent?
All right, Gary, this writer is speaking of war. The scourge of war that has always been with mankind, going all the way back to the first scenes in Genesis where we find the first murder when Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel. That has been the problem of human beings ever since, magnified many, many times over. This is, in a sense, referring to all of that, but a more intensified war that is going to be unleashed in this time of the end, or that Revelation talks about, the day of the Lord. It also coincides with what Jesus Christ spoke of in Matthew 24, the Olivet Prophecy, where in the second sign that he gave to his disciples of the end of the age, he referred to wars and rumors of war that would be coming as well. And that would be, again, a magnified, intensified warfare and conflict upon the earth such as has never been seen.
Now, you know, people will come along and say, yeah, but there's been wars all the time. And there was the Second World War, the First World War, and those were huge wars. And actually, there's less war now, you know, less people dying from war today than there was during the Second World War. So we're just being alarmist. So how do you answer the argument that, well, there's always been war, so, you know, why is this war any different than any other war?
Well, there are two biblical markers that can help us understand that. First, we go back to the book of Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And there in the prophecy to Daniel, it is given to him a description of the time of the end as well. And it says that it will be a time of trouble unlike any that has ever been on the face of the earth. Christ magnified that again in Matthew 24 when he spoke of this time of trouble. And he said that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. Now, we've had wars all through human history, but the technological capacity with weapons of war to annihilate all of human existence hasn't existed until the mid part of the 20th century when the atomic bomb was first developed and later the hydrogen bomb. So we go back now only 60 years to the having the ability to wipe off the face of the earth all of human life to actually fulfill these scriptures. So we're not talking about the wars of the ancient world or even the early wars of the 20th century, the great world wars that did take millions of lives. These prophecies are referring to an even greater period of conflict where the potential to take away all life exists. That has to be the time we're living in now.
You know, it is interesting. With all the firepower of World War II, 50 million people died. But even with the use of those two atomic bombs, no one had the capacity to kill everybody. So it's only been, like you say, very recently with the weapons of mass destruction, the hydrogen bomb, the biological warfare, that those statements could even possibly come about. Which shows for one thing that these prophecies cannot have all been fulfilled, as some believe, in the past. They're still yet to come. The four horsemen are divinely inspired images that are important to you. Now, we've talked about two of them. We have two more yet to cover. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Volumes have been written describing the root causes of war. It has been studied, no doubt, since the first conflict erupted among humans. The ancient Greeks felt human behavior was guided by fear, self-interest, and honor. These characteristics cause war and instability. When instinctual human nature creates a crisis, the normal course of events leads to a breakdown in order, and anarchy or war is the result. Relations among nations are generally guided by self-interest. When individual interest is jeopardized, the natural instinct for self-preservation takes over. War, when between nations, is often the result. You know, we're discussing a future war predicted by the image of the red horse in Revelation 6. You know, presently the eyes of the world are fixed on the continual conflict throughout the Middle East. Now, we know that much of the present conflict between Muslim and Jews and Muslims in the Western world is rooted in religion. Now, Darius, what role does false religion, the false religion especially represented by the white horse here, the four horsemen we're talking about, have with the Great War represented by the red horse? I mean, are these two things, these two horses related?
Yes, they are. They have been related, again, from the very beginning. Religion has played such a seminal role in the conflict between nations throughout history. So many of the great wars of the Middle Ages, the Thirty Years' War and others, had at their heart religion. the Crusades launched against the infidel who had overtaken the Holy Land in the 12th century and the ensuing time had religion at their heart. And people have killed in the name of their God down through the centuries. And it has been a reason many people have been turned off toward not just Christianity, but other forms of religion throughout the ages as well. When people debate and get to the point of strife over their most sacred personal beliefs, very often we have seen these wars develop. What we're witnessing today in today's world with radical Islam and an attack upon Western values, Western nations, we are seeing again conflict generated because of religion. So the false religion symbolized by the white horse, the war symbolized by the red horse, they are intertwined, always have been from the past, and will intensify down through the future ahead of us.
Now, you're not saying, though, that the white horse is Islam.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
No, I'm saying that it represents a religious deception that takes many different forms of religious faith and belief.
You know, there's a war, of course, described in Revelation, all through the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation 17 talks about 10 nations coming together. Where does that, you know, how does that fit in with this red horse?
Well, that picture in Revelation 17 is again of another image and another beast that rises up. It also shows that it is ridden by a woman, which is a symbol of a church in the book of Revelation. So again, you have the combination of church and state there. When you read about these 10 kings who have power and give their power for a short time to this individual that is called the beast, you're reading again of a culminating picture in prophecy that begins all the way back in Daniel chapter 2 and comes forward to this time of rise of various powers. And what we see there in Revelation 17 is a revival of a power that has existed primarily in Europe in recent centuries that has been able to hold sway in many ways over mankind and influence civilization. And we're seeing a revival of a system whose legacy goes back to Imperial Rome that has one last life in it, if you want to look at it that way, that is magnified at this time and combined with the religious power, much as it has been in the past, in the form, let's say, of the Holy Roman Empire, that is going to bring about a semblance of peace and stability within the world.
So the center of the false religion and the center of this power that's going to sort of create this world war,
right,
is going to be in Europe.
Yes, it is.
A revised Roman Empire.
It's going to be its roots go back to that time, and it may have different names, but ironically, when you see some of the, let's say, first steps toward that in our world today, we find ourselves going back to the treaties of Rome and contracts being signed in Rome, which takes us back again to the legacy of Imperial Rome in many ways, transformed into a modern setting.
Now, we've come to the third horse. The third horseman's ride. Notice, we'll go read what it says here in Revelation 6. John says, when he opened the third seal, talking about Jesus Christ opening the seals again, only he is qualified to do that, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I, talking of John, looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. They heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil in the wine. Now, what does this black horse represent?
All right, this third horse, this third seal, Gary, is the horse of famine. Commentators, again, very clearly bring this out. Expositor's Bible Commentary has this to say, that the amounts talking about here are food prices that are 12 times higher than normal and implies inflation and famine conditions. There's a lack of food to go around to everybody. Some probably will have more than others. But oil and wine are mentioned here as well, which are both symbols of plenty, and it probably gives us an indication that there's pockets of abundance in the midst of famine. So Christ's reference here to famine in various places, going back to Matthew 24, can indicate this very thing that we're talking about. And it also, we see pockets of famine taking place in our world today in the midst of abundance, And it's kind of a smaller image, smaller mirror image of what's taking place here.
So, you know, it is hard for us here in the United States or Canada or Western Europe to recognize just how gripping famine is in some parts of the world.
Oh, yes. We just cannot relate to the fact that there are people starving in sub-Saharan Africa, other nations, and because of poor governmental practices, sometimes caused because of drought conditions. Sometimes it's just engineered famine that takes place because one governmental faction wants to kill off its enemies, and that's the sad reality of our world. And we can't relate to that as we go to our abundant supermarkets and buy whatever we want whenever we want it.
You know, when you look at Africa and you look at the breakdown that's happening in so many societies there, I mean, you have famine, war, and diseases. All these things are mixed together. There's religious conflict between Christians and Muslims and ancient religions. So when we look at that continent, are we looking at those conditions sort of expanding over the world? I mean, is that what the world's going to become?
Sadly, it is a foretaste of worldwide conditions, and we don't look any further than Africa to understand that today, of engineered famine and suffering and hundreds of thousands of people dying, as you already mentioned, because of the conflict or the combination of disease and famine as well. Disease, which is the last horseman that we'll look at here in a minute. It's a potent combination that comes together. And we're seeing it on a very small scale in one sense in Africa, although it's pretty large for those people. And yet the Bible shows that that's going to be seen in other places of the world when these events take place.
What a terrifying thought. I mean, the famines and wars that grip countries in Africa and other areas of the world are just a shadow of what Revelation 6 says is going to happen on the entire world. We have one more horseman to talk about, and then we're going to cover some good news. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
You know, welcome back. Last week we offered the booklet, the Book of Revelation Unveiled. This week we're offering You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. And it is a very concise, important booklet that will help you understand passages in Scripture like Revelation chapter 6. And Darris, so far we've discussed three out of the four horsemen in this famous passage. Let's look at the fourth one. Revelation 6, 7, and 8 says, "And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades," which is, of course, the grave, "followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth." You know, that's pretty grim stuff. What are we looking at here?
This fourth horseman, Gary, is talking about disease, pestilence, the pale rider, the pale horse. All color and life, in essence, is gone out of people. And so that's what this pale rider and horse represents. And it's speaking of the potential of disease to take such a toll upon the earth, as it describes here, one-fourth of the population. And that's the grim fourth horseman.
So we're looking at a time literally. Now, this is before what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation.
Right.
So this must be the events that actually set off the tribulation. And we have a fourth of the world dying with war and hunger and disease, and the animals are going wild. Of course, you know, we read this. This has happened in smaller scales throughout history. I mean, you think like the Black Death of the Middle Ages, where entire populations of Europe were wiped out.
Yes, the Black Death devastated Europe in its time, and it was introduced into Europe, interestingly, because of trade. It was carried on a ship by rats. The ship docked in Genoa, Italy, and from there it spread throughout Europe. And so the global idea of that world at that time helped create and spread the plague. Multiply that to our world today, which is infinitely more global in our ability of transportation and people going here and going there. The ability to transport disease from one continent to the next within hours is multiplied many, many times over.
Well, there's always been the fear that something like Ebola or something would mutate.
Right.
If it became airborne, it'd be carried on a jet. It could be all around the world very quickly.
Oh, it was, and it could be. And we saw just a kind of an idea of how that could happen a couple of years ago when this SARS epidemic erupted in Asia, and people began quarantining other airports in Canada, for instance, in Toronto, because of a suspected infestation at that time. It was just a very small foretaste of what could happen if something really did take off big throughout the whole system.
What's interesting, of course, some say that the influenza outbreak of World War I actually sort of hastened the end of that war.
You're right. 25 to 40 million, depending on which record you read, 25 to 40 million people died around the world at that time. And some call that the biggest natural disaster in history. And as you said, it is felt that it even hastened the end of World War I. But that was a tremendous disease epidemic that few people really know about today. But those who study infectious disease and aware of the potential for another influenza epidemic understand that this could happen again. We are not beyond that happening. And every winter we see the articles and hear the warnings of a potential new strain erupting in some part of the world, jumping from the animal species to the human species, and would not have a vaccine to combat it, because it takes about 8 months from the time that a flu strain is identified. It takes about 8 months in the system as it is currently configured to come up with a vaccine for it. And by that time, millions of people could die from something that there's no medication, there's no treatment that can cure it.
Revelation 6 is not describing anything that hasn't already happened in human history. What it's describing, though, is a scale, on a grand scale, that's never happened before.
That's what we're seeing. When we look at false religion, when we look at war, famine, and pestilence, these have always been part of the human condition. But they catapult us into much larger events, which the other seals begin to talk about, of heavenly wonders and signs and other things taking place that we can't go into it for lack of time here. But they catapult us into a time of tribulation that is something unlike any we have ever imagined or read about or seen in our world experience.
Maybe just take a second and describe then what we've described isn't the tribulation. So, I mean, the tribulation is considered the worst time in human history. Maybe just give us a quick summation of the tribulation.
Well, that period of tribulation is a 3.5-year period that the scriptures talk about, of a worldwide conflict and global epidemics and disease and trials that are going to take place, that are going to see rivers dry up and sores take place upon people, and very dramatic events that are pictured here in the book of Revelation that take place. But out of that is going to come a better time.
Okay.
But it's going to be a pretty dark dawn before that dawn actually takes place.
Okay, tell us a little bit of the good news now. We've been bleak here for all this time. Give us a little bit of good news.
Well, Gary, that's the whole point of the book of Revelation is, you know, we've actually talked in these two programs about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, but I like to use the term, the fact that there's a fifth horseman for us to consider, and that fifth horseman is one we've referred to, and that's Jesus Christ. And when you go to the book of Revelation chapter 19, you find Christ returning on a white horse. Again, in a dramatic time of conflict, but it is a scene where it says that the Lamb wages war, but it will be the last great war that takes place. But it is the last event, but it's the answer to all of these other troubles and times. That fifth horseman, which is Jesus Christ returning, carries the hope, carries the answers that mankind has been looking for and needs, and is the hope, or is it the light at the end of the tunnel, a very dark tunnel in many passages of this book of Revelation. But it is that fifth horseman that is the hope that we have to look forward to. And if you will, the first four horsemen in one sense kind of represent man's efforts and man's bungling of the world and his civilizations, whereas that fifth horseman represents the solution that Jesus Christ will bring to correct and to establish justice finally upon this earth.
Darris, thanks for having me. I wish we had more time. We don't. Thanks for coming.
Glad to be here with you again.
Jesus Christ is coming back. Are you ready for that event? Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message, 1-800-966-9232. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.